Welcome back. Welcome back. So it is, I love this, 2022-0222. Do y'all notice that? It's a beautiful day. I love all those twos. And this is the second half of our abundance retreat. We'll see. We might have another little mini break. It just depends on how things go. So, and we'll watch the energy. And it's almost 2:22 p.m. Yvonne, thank you for that. I just feel like I just want to sit here for 3 minutes and wait for that special time to come, right? 2:22 on 2:22, 2022. Yay. What can we do for 3 minutes so we'll notice that time, right? Somebody wants to set an alarm so we can notice in 3 minutes. We'll all cheer. I just, when the numbers line up. See, and you know what? Abundance, it's a way of living, right? I feel just abundant and joyful when we'll get an answer to your question then. Yes. I just feel abundant and joyful. And when the numbers line up, it just makes me happy. And it's a choice, right? What we focus on expands. Just a little kid energy, right? All right. Anything that you want to share from the abundance of your break, from what's bubbling up in you now, before we go to some ways of breaking this down and taking it deeper, everything that we've done in that first half. Yeah, Diane, thank you.
I enjoyed the abundance of sunshine coming through my window. The abundance of some dark chocolate and almonds.
Me too. I got more chocolate right here beside me. Yum. Almonds too. Doesn't life just feel different when we enter into it that way? And you know, abundance can come in so many different forms too, and the appreciation of it, you know. One of my old dear friends, I didn't see him for 25 years. I think that's a record for being out of touch with somebody for 25 years. We got back together again a couple of years ago. I hadn't seen him in 25 years. And he gave me a beautiful CD that he signed like to my best friend, Michelle. I'm like, oh my, he's a beautiful, beautiful soul. Love him to bits. He called his first daughter, Michelle. I'm like, he's a really close friend and lives in Hong Kong. And I remember when he used to live in Vancouver and I'd go and visit him there. And he just has a real wonderful way of diving into and the abundance of life and really like squeezing all the juice out of life, you know, just feeling its abundance. But you do it, you know, it comes in different forms. So sometimes, you know, he'd pick me up, we were going to go to lunch or whatever it is. And he's like, hurry up, get in the car. And I would run in the car and it's like, we got to get there. And he's like, screech. And then he grabs the coffee and then he screech across Vancouver and there's traffic and like, you know, hurry up, you know, and you go like, come, and we sit down. And he's like, look, and we'd have our coffee. It was good coffee too. And you'd go, look, the sunset. You don't want to miss it. You know? Abundance, so many forms, the sunshine, the chocolate. Diane, thank you for that. Anything else that you want, that's just bubbling up, wanting to be shared? Yeah, Marnie, two things, or is that peace? Oh, it's now, the circle moment. It's 2:20, I totally forgot. There's more, it is 2:22 p.m. Mountain time on 2:22:22, yay. For all of you with a little kid inside you. Thank you, Marnie. I 3 minutes later and I totally forgot, right? I'm so excited about sunshine and chocolate. There's an abundance of wonderful things happening, right? Sunshine, chocolate, and the numbers lining up. And if any piece of you, again, is pulling back, if some piece of you is going, I'm like, yeah, but, you know, show me the money or whatever it is, right? Mm. It comes from this.
Why don't we shower the planet with love right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Thank you, Heidi. What a beautiful thing to be doing in that moment. Reminds me of about 10 years ago, I heard of this study where, was it in New York, and they got a bunch of meditators together. People meditated at the same time and the crime rate in New York went down. I don't know if that's literally true. I don't know the facts of whether that happened or not, but I love the story of it. What if we live in that idea that collectively we can make a difference? And what if everybody, you know, when I think about that, if everybody were feeling like in that audience, that is like a very non-violent, non-harming, ahimsa, it's a yogic word, right? Audience that we watch, that beautiful song, you know? And if the whole world were living like that, wouldn't you guess crime would go down, right? I love it. Yeah. Abundance is so much more than what you Google it or those like abundance songs. I'm just like, I don't know that I'm going to Google abundance songs again. It was very instructive. Yeah. Anything else wanting to be said?
I'll just say that I took a tiny nap and it was quite delicious for the 5 minutes that I closed my eyes with the quilt, with the dog's blanket right there. And I woke up, I didn't really sleep, but I went deep for the 5 minutes and then the alarm went off and I was like, okay, that was quite abundant.
I love it. I love it. And this whole scarcity of time thing that many of us live in Western culture, this 24/7 culture, right? In 5 minutes, we can rejuvenate. In 5 minutes, we can feel spaciousness. In 5 minutes, right? And what if we had that mind coming to a strategy session? What if we had that mind as we're about to step onto stage and so on? Beautiful. All right. Anything else? There's always time. That's an abundance practice, right? It's an abundance practice around time, what I just said. I know we always get there. Yeah, Yvonne, thank you. Yes, scarcity of time was a big one for me when I started working with Michelle. Yes, not enough time to do all this stuff, so I got to hurry and get it done. And what if it doesn't have to feel like that? Dawn, time is my best friend. Now there's an antidote to that thinking, right? All right. So what I want to share with you in the second half of our abundance retreat, you get that if we just left now and you actually brought that into your business and your world consciously, that things will shift. They just will. This is a different way of being in the world. And there's more. Like that's the feeling of abundance to you. And there's more. So I want to give you three keys to creating abundance. And I thought like every year I come to these and I go like, maybe I'll change them this year. You know, like, let me check. Is this still what I believe? And I wanted to add some things. I wanted to add about Bashar's definition of abundance and so on. I thought that's great. But I come back to it and I come back to it. And I'm like, yeah, this is what has created abundance in my life and the lives of so many people that I've worked with and people around me. Like, this is it. This is it. So let me actually, do I want to give you all three? I'm just going to start with the first one. I don't want your mind to be over in the other ones. The very first one, I'll call this first mini part, the power of practice. It's about practice. It's the word practice. Making abundance real in your business, in your life, the power of practice. So abundance, it's a practice. It's not something like, okay, I got that concept. There's abundance. Now what, Michelle? Right? It's a practice. It's a way of being. It's a practice. It's what we do. It's on the court. It's not like a degree or a technical certificate or something like that. Okay, I got that. I've got that forever. It's on my wall. Like, what am I being right here, right now? What am I practicing? And I think that word practice is a really important part of abundance because we can start to look at our practices daily, moment by moment, weekly, monthly, yearly, and see, like, are these practices that allow me to know my own abundance now, which is the thing that produces that abundance later as well, that allows there to be more and more. Like, for instance, do I have a practiced habit of going, of saying, I was talking to someone the other day and it's just like, oh, my heart just hurt. It's like, maybe I've been just asking too much. You know, this is just how life is. I've been asking for too much. I got to expect less. I'm like, my stomach hurts when I say that, you know? What if that's not it? What if it's I haven't been expecting enough? What if I can increase my having level? What if there's I see dawn, like it's right in our arms? Like, what if there could be more? That's a practiced habit of thought. That one thought can keep me from the life that is my birthright that I'm meant to live. Make sense? So what are my practiced habits of thought? I need to want more for myself, right? But if I start to have that belief that that's my birthright, that we're all meant, well, like what? I think the whole world should be abundant. And I want to be like Yvonne, a deep desire in her is a philanthropy. What, I'm going to be a philanthropist to make sure everybody's doing fine except for me? How's it probably going to work? Like, it's kind of double thinking, you know? So what are the practices? Are we, you know, do we have habits of thought that allow us to live abundantly? How are we thinking moment to moment, and how are we acting? Do we go, well, yeah, I know abundance, that's all really nice, but now I'm just going to get back to my real life, whatever, you know? Then that's the practiced habit of thought and doing, right? Our practices, Yvonne, when you say scarcity of time was a big one when we started working together in 2014. Then that's a practice and sometimes that comes from scarcity of like not enoughness in ourselves. That might have been a piece of it for you, Yvonne, right? Like, I've got to work 10 times as hard as everybody else because underneath I maybe think that I'm not enough, even though everybody around me thinks I'm more than enough. You know, when I really look, they think I'm doing a great job, but I think I'm not quite enough. So I've got to work a little harder. I've got to do a little more because I don't really expect that I'm going to get there. So I've got to like stay up later and work hard, make sure I get there. And it doesn't mean that we don't put the work in sometimes, but that alone is a practice that can stop us, right? So what are the practices that you have in your daily life? Can you start to notice your practices? Are they ones that support abundance in your world or that take away from it? Oh, I don't know anybody that I could help, and I don't know what my, you know, what my promise is, and I'll never be able to figure it out. So let me think for 10 years before I try. You know, not supporting abundance, for example, right? There are what some people call success practices, and that sounds more technical than we've been talking about it right now. But like, how do I get up in the morning? What's my morning routine? Do I get up and put the pedal to the metal and hit the road because I don't think there's enough time in the day? And then it produces that because I get kind of tired and I get kind of worried and I have less and I leak energy all day. And then I'm tired by the end of the day. And I think that I got to do more. So I end up doing more and my actions aren't as effective. Well, what's my morning routine? What's my nighttime routine? What's my practice? As I start my day, I suggest start with Shavasana as I end my day. And it doesn't have to be what somebody else thinks it should be. For a couple of years, I was reading Harry Potter at the end of the day because I loved it. I love the story. And I read through all 7 books again, you know, really fun. And then I watched the movies with Dana. I was in a Harry Potter couple of years again, you know, like I love Harry Potter. I finished those books. I'm like, Dana, what am I going to read? And she suggested the Percy Jackson series. It's like, I like youth novels, you know, I like youth literature, right? What do they call that? Young adult literature, because they're so optimistic and they're so positive and it just like matches my energy and personality, I guess, right? And they just, you know, envision opening and that life is ahead of us and there's beautiful things, right? So I started the Percy Jackson series and I just finished book 2 last night and it feels good and it's a fun story and it usually puts me to sleep too, right? It's one of my practices. It doesn't have to be lofty and heavy and spiritual even. I'm reading a fun book. But what are the practices that support you actually really not what somebody thinks you ought to be doing? That's scarcity, as if somebody else knew more than you, right? You can borrow practices from others. Somebody else taught me about Shavasana before and I picked that up, you know? So how are we starting our morning? How are we starting our day? What are our inner world practices? We work on that all year long in different ways. And that's why the high ticket virtual retreat starts with the inner world. It's like, well, here's the things you do, but if you try to, you know, give the first person a deal out of that feeling of scarcity, it's not going to work. They will feel that scarcity too, right? So inner world practices, what are the stories that I'm carrying that maybe I can release that actually belong to somebody else? Can I notice that? Can I ask questions about it here? That's an abundance practice too. Ask questions about it. I don't know. I know there's some things that are blocking me. How can I move through that? How can I create a different story? being on those connection calls that I suggested, that's an abundance practice, right? Let's get this together. We can move faster together and go deeper. And I can't see the beauty of me. I don't know what's, do you get that lying or what's lying around in your shop room floor from the High Ticket Virtual Retreat? Can you see now that that's an abundance practice? I thought I didn't have anything to offer. I don't have anything to offer. How could I charge high ticket? Let me think small and start by selling a 97-cent widget because I don't really believe in myself. And once I sell enough of those, I'm like, oh man, why do it the hard way? Abundance practice, abundance of what you have and who you are. What's lying around on your shop room floor? Abundance practice right in the high ticket virtual retreat. Me, my time, and my stuff. Yeah, Dawn, go ahead.
I wanted to share what happened after the last session because I realized that I have so much to say that I don't know where to begin because I had been quiet for so long with the training of psychoanalysis. So what I decided to do was make mind maps of each area of my life. And right, so I've started with one being just, you know, my education. So I don't know. So one is just my education.
Okay, stop right there for a second. I want to hear you fully. That from like, I don't have anything lying around on my shop room floor pretty well on Thursday, right? To look, here's just one piece of what I've got mapped out. Thank you. Just like what I told you about what had happened with Marie when she first did that exercise, like there's nothing there to look at all this. This is just one piece of one part of what I know. I could not, I wanted to pause you there for a second so we could actually hear it.
Yeah.
Brilliant and beautiful.
It's so, I'm not even finished with this, just the one. Thank you. And I have, and someone gave me the idea to definitely do one for what are the things you love. So I'm going to do one for that, one for relationships, one for every area, probably spirituality. I'm going to have pages and pages. And then the experiences that I have to share when I started to share with my friends here, different pieces. And there's something I want to share with you too, Michelle. You would really appreciate this. I think of you because it's from one of my professors when I was going to school. I have so many things that I want to share. And then in this today, I'm just seeing, wow, the abundance. And just, I was like overwhelmed with it. And now it's being mirrored to me.
Thank you for this, Dawn. I love, love, love it. And I want to say, like, who are you? And what have you done with the previous version of Dawn? You know, I mean, we loved her too. She was amazing. But wouldn't you love to have this Dawn meet that Dawn from the High Ticket Virtual Retreat where Dawn is going like, there's nothing. And this Dawn comes in. It's like, don't you see? There's this and there's that and there's that and there's that and there's that. What an entirely different come from place. And you know, and then Dawn number one and Dawn number two, both are building their companies. Where are they going to be in 10 years from now? Clearly, right? And then it's not even about that. It's that this Dawn here is having so much more fun. It's about the process of it. And as a result, we also build our companies. Oh, it's like a byproduct, right? This is so, it's so much more fun, right? So beautiful. It's like, oh, look, and we can't see it. And then we see it and there it is. Like, wow. So abundant. Thank you. I love that. Right. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be said? Yeah. Like Diane says, I love this new Dawn. And she was already inside her, but just more and more of Dawn showing up. It's not turning ourselves into somebody else other than who we are. It's more and more of yourself showing up. So beautiful. Yeah. And like Diane says, I love this new Dawn. Again, not dissing the earlier version. She was beautiful too, but being able to be seen, more and more of ourselves showing up. And it's attractive. It's attractive when we show up as ourselves, when we dare to show up and see who we actually are, the abundance of ourselves and what we have to offer. Thank you. All right, anything else? Anything else is bubbling up while we're at bubbling up here? Okay, so our practices. Morning, night, in inner world, and then engagement. I want to add this, another level of what our practices are. And I think about, sometimes I think about my boys in the back row that I used to teach at university, and I just loved them. I just loved them because, you know, you teach courses and people have to take the courses, some of them, right? And I've told you about them before, but I think about them with such fondness, you know, and they'd be in the back row, they'd have their baseball caps on, and they'd... And it wasn't an obstacle. I just took it as, it wasn't a problem. I just took it as a challenge. Like, these boys are going to love on this class. They're going to love it. They're going to love the people here. They're going to love this class. It's going to be their favorite class, which it was, you know, right? There's so many of them, right? And so, you know, am I 100% in? And we all have those boys in the back row inside of us, you know? Well, yeah, everybody else has something to offer, but I don't. You know, whatever. It's like, be joyful and be okay with, like, love on that part of ourselves too, right? Everybody else got there, but or whatever it is, we all have that side. It's okay, right? But to know that that can be transformed, to know that we can lean in and get support in the community, to know that there's so much more. And as I watch those boys from the back row, you know, like, to what my favorite group of those boys, they were in my second year of teaching, I think it was. And they were so baseball cappy back row. And then they had to do a presentation on a short story that we were reading. It was done by random. I don't think I've told this in this community ever, but it was randomly drawn, if I remember right, you know, and they have to do a presentation. The one they pulled out, I taught stories all with all kinds of subject matter, all kinds of things, you know, race cars, whatever, you know, just different things from different times or different. And they pulled one that was about, what was it? A very stream of consciousness, a story about a woman who had just experienced a miscarriage or abortion. I can't remember what it was. Like, the boys in the back row, I'm like, how's this going to go? They did such a fabulous job. They were so excited about it. And they willingly came and guest lectured in my other section. It's just like, what? Yeah. There's so much potential. There's so much possibility. Life can be transformed, and that can be transformed inside of us too, right? So, you know, that is an abundance practice. How am I 100% in? And think of the game, how the high ticket virtual retreat and the abundance retreat, how these fit hand in hand. Well, yeah, I'll register for the game, but I don't know. And actually, Marie was, it's okay if you're there, right? Marie was there, like, I will do the game, but I'm only going to support people. I'm too busy with other stuff. There's not enough scarcity of time, right? There's not enough time to do this. And the other thing that really matters to me, sounded like putting her stake in the ground for herself. And she was, but there was also scarcity, right? Going on at that time many years ago, right? Accidentally made $1,800, just started to go more and more all of her in. Wait, I can do this too. And I remember one of our committee members years ago, she had this huge revelation. She said, Michelle, and, you know, compared to other people around her, she's playing pretty full out. But she said, like, I just realized I've been playing at 99%. What would it mean to you if you put your whole heart and soul in? What would that feel like? Isn't that like, and then we go back to that song too, right? When you watch Sam Garrett singing, isn't every part of his being in that song? What would it be to live like that? So what are the practices that you have that support or don't support abundance? What is it that you're tolerating maybe? What are you tolerating? Well, every day I hit the ground running, but that's just how it has to be, because right now and later on, it'll be better, but right now, what are you tolerating? Here's one practice you can choose to do or not do, but just some things you can do to help live in greater abundance. You can make a list, like, what are the 10 things you're tolerating in your life? I bet you know what they are. What would it be like to stop that? Let them go. I'm tolerating a low having level that I've had for a long time, and I think it has to stay there or change slowly. I'm tolerating, like, too much franticness in my morning. I'm tolerating too many days of work without a space. I'm tolerating not believing in myself enough to have high ticket, like, tomorrow. I'm tolerating that other people can interrupt me whenever they want because I think they're more important than me. I don't know. What is it for you? I'm tolerating a mind that beats me up. I'm tolerating, I just saw you, Teresa, for a moment. I'm tolerating, sometimes it's things that seem to be external to ourselves. I'm tolerating sometimes physical pain. But maybe it's okay if you lie down or you do whatever you need to do. I love that, Teresa, that you're just taking care of yourself, right? So what are we tolerating that we can let go of, right? And then about practices, I want to add this. It's like, okay, well, and I know we know this, but we still can have this tendency. Okay, I want abundance practices and I need them all now. That's scarce, right? So I'm going to get up 3 hours earlier. I'm going to start exercising 5 days a week. I'm going to, you know, go and make 20 offers today. And I'm going to make sure I'm on 50 connection calls with everyone. That's actually scarcity masquerading as abundance. Notice one, choose one. Which one do you want to change? What do you want to let go of today? What's a practice you want to let go of? What's a new practice that you want to take on? What's one that you want to maintain? There's good things. Can you notice that? Something I'll keep, something I'll let go of, something I'll maintain. Or something I want to, actually that's not, something I'll keep, something I'll let go of, and something new that I'll take on. All right, I haven't been starting my day with Shavasana, but I could do that. I like Michelle's idea of reading a book and falling asleep to it at the end of the day. I like the idea of not calling 20 people today, but I could call 2 people. See what happens. I like the new practice of believing in myself enough to make that phone call. Double my prices today. The worst they could say is no. All abundance practices. All right. Jot down your biggest aha about abundance and practice. Okay, thank you. Just finishing that sentence up, taking it to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. And then I want to like kind of prime the pump here a little bit of what abundance practices could be. Then I want to give you time in the breakout room again, just to share what your abundance practices are so that you can see not, well, one day I'll have abundance practices, but if you already have some things in place. Let me give you some examples. Something that I was taught by one of my mentors, thoughts lead to feelings, lead to actions, lead to results. Thoughts lead to feelings, lead to actions, lead to results. So that I know that the inner world matters. If I want to tweak the results, I'm going to change my inner world. So I have a practice of looking to the inner world. I'm proud of that. I know it's all about the inner story. That's one of my practices. Abundance practices. Tithing is an abundance practice. Some of you might do that. I give away some of what I have, like what I earn, because the tithing is usually 10%, but whatever it is, I give it away because I know I've got enough. I mean, it comes back just tenfold. I remember as part of my tithing practice a couple of years ago, there was somebody who just said something so uplifting in the locker room at the gym. It's just like, that's going to change everything for me. I just went to see what was in my wallet. I handed her a $100 bill. I said, thanks. She just fell off her chair. Like, I can't take this scarcity, you know, ceiling to the happy level. I'm like, take it. So you've inspired me. It makes me so happy. And eventually I said, give it away if you want. And then she was happy, right? So she took it. But just like the playfulness of it, the knowing that there's enoughness of it, that tithing, you know, many things can be an abundance practice. Buying organic food for me. Do I always do it? No. But do I do it often? Yes. It's like, oh, across the, you know, I like it that people who are producing bananas for us somewhere on the other end of the world are not being sprayed on. I was in Central America once and I saw this stuff that they were spraying in the banana fields. I'm like, oh my goodness, right? Isn't it like I have more than enough and I can, you know, when I do that, that helps that person and we're all uplifted, right? And the different things can be an abundance practice. Just listening to songs like that, that's an abundance practice. Shavasana itself, I'm trusting that there's enough time for me to do that today, and I know it's going to produce more time for me. It's an abundance practice to write down 10 people that you could reach out to and then actually calling them and knowing that there's plenty of other people that you can call. If they say no, it doesn't matter, right? There's a different levels of different kinds of abundance practices. So what I want to do is have you, let's hear a couple of yours just to prime the pump. Those are my priming the pump of just various, very different kinds of abundance practices. What are some for you? Let's hear one or two. Yeah, Diane.
In the morning before I get up and as I'm going to bed at night, I always thank the universe for this brand new never before lived day and give usually three or four different things I'm grateful for that's being in my day.
Nice. Can we hear one more? I love it. Thank you. One more. Yeah, Yvonne, thanks.
I've started to donate money to Kiva, giving them loans.
So beautiful. And will you tell them too, what you told me the other day about it? Because like, mm-hmm. What a beautiful abundance practice of how you're doing.
Yeah. So Kiva is a site that gives out loans. And I particularly look at women who want loans. And my biggest fun moment in that is to look for the ones that need that last $25 or $50 or $75, you know, just the last $20 or whatever it is to push them over the edge. I love that.
I love that. And what a beautiful abundance practice. My $20 can radically change the life of all these people, right? And I just saw your note. I don't know, I'll see that as Heidi. What was the point about engagement? Like, am I 100% engaged? Am I 100% in this? And if you think about that song, when you see Sam Garrett, how he's playing, there's not some part of him going like, I've got another engagement in 2 hours or, you know, or in 5 minutes, or like, have I, you know, got the song exactly right? Let me check my metronome. Like, he's just, everything in him is there, present, alive, awake in the moment. There's not some hanging back. And that's part of what makes that moment so beautifully, abundantly full. And the audience engaged as well, right? That's part of the magic of what he's creating. They're creating it together and he's creating it. That's leadership too. These are all connected with abundance. When we feel that abundance, it also others follow. It's attractive. It's beautiful. It sets a tone and an energy, right? Okay. So here's what I'm going to suggest that you do. And we're going to do a breakout room again. And let's stay with the same breakout groups. And what we're going to do is share an abundance practice that you have, just so we can hear the diversity of them in the room. And then what could get in the way of abundance practices for you? Because sometimes like that's the dark side. Where do you get stuck? And then what are you gonna do about it? Making sense? Because sometimes we just go, oh, it's really nice, that's really nice, that's really nice. But then I'm gonna get back to my real world where it's hard, you know? So I wanted to bring that piece in. Empowering Stories, they have an obstacle in the middle. They have something that gets in the way. And we don't always feel like this. So I want to make sure that we bring in that realness of, here's an abundance practice I have. Here's one place where I get stuck. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it. You know, you could use your time like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Will you help me? And here's one thing you can do. So that we have strategies and techniques to bring this into our lives. So one abundance practice, one thing that could get in the way of abundance for you. And one thing you're going to do about it. Make sense? All right, let's give you, let me see. A minute and a half each, all right? A minute and a half each, so that's 4.5 minutes again. That's like half a minute for each, right? Half a minute for here's my abundance practice, half a minute for here's the obstacle, half a minute, but you can divide your time any way you want. If you go like, I got a big obstacle and I want help with this, here's my abundance practice. Here's the obstacle. Please help me for the rest of my minute of how I'm going to get through this. You decide how you use your minute and a half. There's an abundance of time. It's up to you how you use this abundance of time. So 4.5 minutes in all. Any questions about what you're doing? Real clear? You got it? Okay. Let me get to the breakout rooms. Yes, we still have them. I will give you 5 minutes so you have enough time to get over there. The one with the darkest close times. Don't think too much about it. Just somebody choose. The one with the lightest clothes goes first. All right, have fun. I'll see you in 5 minutes. Begin. So welcome back. Welcome back. What's opening for you now about abundance practices, obstacles? What are you going to do about it? Something that is opening for you from either what you shared or something that arose in your room. Who would like to share? Teresa, thank you.
Kindred spirits, we're all sharing very similar trip hazards and practice.
Isn't it good to know you're not alone? So good to know you're not alone. That's why I so recommend you lean in with the community, because sometimes you go, oh, it's just me. Everybody else has that already, whatever it is, right? Love that. Yes, this is everything you need is in this community. It's not the person in this community, it's somebody they know, right? The circle of who you know can help that other person in the community and vice versa, and to be in a community where you're not alone, that's so good. Thank you, Teresa. Yes, yes, yes. What else is bubbling up for you now? What's opening for you now? Let's see, I saw Heidi and Marnie at the same time, so you guys decide who goes first. Somebody will unmute. We'll watch how this plays out.
All right, Marty. We were pointing at each other, but okay. You go first. Well, Yvonne taught me something I had never heard of. A money love day. And I said, what is that? And she said that it's a day to just, I guess, love on your money and appreciate money and check your bank accounts and I guess check your assets and your expenses and just be friends with money, as opposed, I guess, to love hate with money.
So. Oh, I love that. I love that. One dear friend who's really, really good with money, she teaches us. She says, like, money loves to be counted. And, you know, for me, the image that goes inside my head, because that's the image in our culture, is Scrooge counting money, you know? Mm. Isn't that funny how we have unabundance images so strongly in our mind? But, oh, I love that. Money love day. So beautiful. And isn't that part of gratitude too? It's like, look, there you are, money. There you are, abundance, money. Money love date, not, oh, money love date.
Date.
I got a time to spend a whole day on it. You don't have a whole day to spend time on it because there's not enough time. Was that on anyone? Yeah, a money love day, right? Or a money love date, either
it's
way.
It's not an accident that I misheard that.
Good.
That's really interesting, because I have to say, and there's a piece of the story with me, with it, the skepticism of, you know, oh yeah, love the object, like, you know, and it's, I'm feeling the struggle. For me, and I'm like, I'm like, well, admiring you do it, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't know, I don't know about that. I thank you for introducing me to the concept, and so now I can let it percolate.
Money love day or money love date, and. A related practice, because sometimes we pay our bills and it's bill payment date or whatever it is, right? Well, we can look at that and go, that was the dinner out that I had with that friend. I loved that. And one of my teachers, he says, like, often, you know, they would divide up what we need to pay into different jars. And here's the necessity jar. Well, you got to pay the bills, you got to pay the mortgage or the rent, you got to pay the electricity and so on. A lot of people go, well, that's the necessary stuff. And then I get that done. And then here's the fun stuff. I'm going to have a little bit for entertainment or whatever it is. He said, that's my, of these different jars for me, he said, that's my favorite jar, the necessities jar. He said, that's where I'm looking after my family and my loved ones and myself. I've got a roof over my head. There's water that flows into my house. I mean, it's so easy to take it for granted, right? So when I see it and I'm paying that bill, it's like, this represents real experience real life force energy. Or for me, you know that I love this chair, right? My $6,000 chair that I got for $500. It's just like fun and it's so cozy. And you know, it really is like well designed and well built. And so I look at that bill and the person that I gave the $500 to. And I'm so grateful because I get to sit in this chair all the time and it's so beautiful, right? So can we remember the experiences of Italy? Yvonne says, I love my money. My client just paid me. Whoop, whoop, right? And sometimes we have old ideas about that too. Like, you know, money is a root of all evil from the Bible. Or it's like, no, it wasn't that. It's the love of money is a root of all evil. And I think it's like the coveting or the love raga, attachment to money. I think that's really what they were trying to talk about is the root of all evil. Like, and it's really scarcity. I have to have it. I don't have it. I've got to get some more of it because there's not enough. That kind of Scrooge-like idea of it. Instead of there's more than enough and I love on it and look what it does. And it's an energy form. And it's a way we exchange in our culture where we exchange value and something that matters. Thank you, Heidi. Beautiful. Marnie, I haven't forgotten.
Well, I was just holding up my phone to say it's kind of the root of a lot of distractions, and it can be your friend in terms of scheduling, but it can also be distractions. But then this comment about the love day, my scarcity visual went boing. So I saw myself sitting in a vault stroking my $1 bill going, precious! And then you said, no, it's date, not day. And I thought, well, now I'm completely fucked. Sorry.
I don't have a sense of humor about things.
No, that's the truth of it. Just that whole concept of, I think gratitude comes up again, right? That it's not about the present self, it's about recognizing, like you said, looking at what does it represent. I mean, I have days when I wander down my halls going, well, okay, you know, this wall represents that you're not in Paris right now. and you're doing this in other days. I'm, you know, looking at the pictures of the wall, on the wall and going, oh my God, that's the time you visited Paris. And that's the, so, you know, the same thing can represent something completely different.
What's the story that I'm telling about that? Abundance is a practice. It's a story. Behind everything is always story. What's the story that I'm telling about it? And is it fueling me or is it hindering me? Is it the editor is always scarcity? Is always not enoughness? Is always something wrongness? Is always that? And on the opposite side of that, can I know there's more than enough? Can I be playful about it too? The editor hates, you know, laughter, right? That voice inside us that doesn't help hates laughter, right? Playful about it I've got that image of the counting, but truly paying attention to it and knowing that's an antidote for the money scarcity editor. I think of my Dana's dad years ago when we first moved to Calgary, and he got his job here. That's why how we ended up in Calgary many years ago before Dana was born. And at his job interview, he told me about it afterwards. I thought this was very wise of him. The person asking said, how important is money to you? Well, what's the answer we're supposed to give in this culture? They were clearly expecting an answer, right? How important money is money to you? Well, money's not really important. Family's more important. All these other things are more important. I mean, imagine you said that to a friend. How important are you? Well, you're not really important. These other things are more important. Would that friend stick around? Will money stick around if we go, well, you're not really important, you know, right? So when they said, how important is money to you? He said money, and he said it straight out. Just, well, money is always important. Oh. And he really meant it. I mean, money gives us the lifestyle contribution that we need to become. That probably wasn't what was in his mind at the moment, but it matters. It's how I support my family. It's how I, you know, take action. It's how I, it's a medium of exchange, right? And so in that playful counting of it, or not like, what is that, Gollum and precious, you know, but just like, let it be fun, let it be joyful, and find your abundance practices. Notice what's in the way. The old stories often are the ones like, I can't love money, that would mean there's something wrong with me. Isn't that strange that our culture is like that? And yet we have, you know, coveting of money everywhere, symbols of it everywhere. So just noticing what practices do you have that support abundance? What practices could get in the way of it? Oh, thinking the only form of abundance is money, for instance, right, is one of them. Or pushing money away, thinking it's not a form of abundance and thinking, I only want the other ones, but not money. I mean, all those could get in the way. And then what you're going to do about it to change that. All right, anything else bubbling up, wanting to be shared? Yep, Heidi.
Thank you for sharing that story, Michelle, about, you know, what your Dana's dad said about the, you know, money's always important. Because, you know, there was something in the hearing that, like just the statement of fact around it, that it was like, well, you know, you do buy food with money. Like you do keep alive with money. So to be in a world where money's not important and that's the value, but it's the very thing that is literally keeping you alive, there's this dissonance that's just not life enhancing. That the thing you need to live is dishonored. And so there's a conflict that then, well, what do I do? And then you're kinking the hose because I want it, the push me, pull you. I want it, but I can't have it, or I shouldn't have it, or it's dirty. But I need it, but it's dirty. I need it, but it's dirty. And like, you know, instead of just getting clean around it.
Mm-hmm. I thought about what he said for many years. It was so beautiful. And especially in the face of in an interview being asked that, and it's a kind of loaded question in all kinds of ways. And the expected answer in our culture is, well, that's not really important, at least among certain people. It's not more the people who, you know, good people who make good money do good things. And the more money people have, the less they say that. Good people who have good money, who are doing good things, are never going to say money is not important. Because, I love what Sandra Yancey said about this too. I mean, she's a lot of money has flowed through her company and through her hands and through her, the charitable wing of what she does, you know. And she says, anybody who says anybody who says money doesn't bring happiness hasn't given away enough of it. So the importance of money and that it is a form of abundance, and we can create these abundance practices. Money, it is one form of abundance, and to love on that and to welcome that into our lives. And then we have a mechanism for doing that too in the high ticket virtual retreat that brings happiness by nature, as we talked about on Thursday, by nature of its structure. When we do high ticket work, it brings the conditions of happiness, and we have a mechanism for bringing that form of abundance into our lives so that energy circulates. We're putting good energy out into the world. It comes back to us in the form of money. We recirculate it into whatever good causes that we want, paying for our family, eating food, you know, buying something from an artisan, philanthropy, whatever it is, ziplining with my daughter, you know, right? All good, all beautiful, embracing it all. All right. Anything else about practices? Anything else that bubbled up for you either now or in your breakout room? Practices, things that get in the way, what you're going to do about it, anything else? Good to go on that one? Okay, jot down your biggest aha. Again, just emptying out the room because there's more. There's still more that I want to share with you. So emptying out the room, jot down your biggest aha at this juncture. Oh, keep writing. I want to go grab something. I forgot to bring. Just give me a sec. All right, finishing up that last sentence. Taking it to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. And I just want to mention here that abundance practices, they're everywhere. They're in every moment. So as I went to go get the thing that I forgot to have beside me, it's a practiced habit. And this, I didn't try to think this. This is just what came up in me naturally. Oh, how wonderful. They're writing right now. That gives me a moment to go get this. I have many books. A wonderful seat on the shelf. Oh, it'll probably be right there. Oh, if it's not there, it doesn't matter. It's all good. I'll just tell them about it. Or maybe we'll go on and find it in a different way. Oh, here it is. Isn't that nice? I'm coming back. They're probably finished writing now. That was when I unpacked the dialogue that was in my sentence, in my head. That's what it was saying. Not because I was trying to think that, but because it's been a practice for many years. Is it always that way? No. I mean, ask my daughter, you know, is it always that? No. Is it like that more and more and more and more? Yes. Because it's a practice that I choose. Make sense? It's right in our moment by moment lives. All right. So abundance. We talked about the why. We shared that song where, you know, Sam Garrett, he's just so in that moment and the collectivity in the room and how it's right now. So much that we've covered and what Deepak Chopra had to say about, you know, abundance and where it comes from and the money part of it and the other kinds of abundance and Bashar's five different kinds of abundance and his definition of it and so much else, right? We've done so much. And then the practices, looking at them, what's in the way and how to move through that. So and then the connections with the high ticket virtual retreat. Already we've done so much. I want to add another piece. I said there's three things that I want to teach you. The one was about practice. And this is the second one. And I'll call this part, why stopping matters. Why stopping matters, the power of the pause. I remember earlier on, was it Yvonne who said, I just liked pausing the Shavasana. That was so nice to pause. I said, we'll come back to that. We're coming back to it now. One of the crucial abundance practices that I've found in our 24/7 culture is pausing. And I want to start off by relating it directly to money, to financial abundance, to growing our companies. Remember, if we don't make offers from the High Ticket Virtual Retreat, we don't have a company, we have a hobby. And here's the thing that I found. If I don't make enough space in my life, so I have spaciousness, so I have a pause, when I ought to be reaching out and growing my company, I'm going to just stop and rest because I haven't had enough rest. Or I'm just going to do a lousy job on that call because I just don't feel like I've got the capacity to take on anybody else. It doesn't feel like fun if I'm overrun in this 24/7 culture, how we be. Or I'm just going to be too tired and I might end up talking to 50 people instead of one because I'm not really there and present for them. So I wanted to create it connected to something very, you know, tactical on the court, high ticket virtual retreat, the importance just from a nuts and bolts business level of how important it is that we stop. If that's making sense to you, raise your hand. Like, oh, right. Thank you. All right. So why stopping matters. So one important practice, one important business practice is pausing, stopping. Now there has to be a rhythm of stopping and going, right? Well, I think I'm going to pause for 3 years and think about offering something to somebody one day. That's the editor grabbing that good idea and being sneaky about it. Makes sense? So we have to be honest about it. I think I'm just going to sit on the couch and eat bonbons for the next 3 years. It's not that. I'm not talking about that. That's a sneaky editor taking an important value and twisting it. There's a rhythm of activity and rest. And this is what I went to get. Some of you have heard from this book before. I love this book. I have read it countless times. Every time I read, I hear something new. And I often will share the first page, but the whole book is worth reading. It's called Sabbath. Finding rest, renewal, and delight in our busy lives. And from the front cover, one of the, you know, accolades, the blurbs for this book, Rachel Naomi Remen, author of Kitchen Table Wisdom, she says, and she's a doctor, she says, this is a book that may save your life. Sabbath offers a surprising direction for healing to anyone who has ever glimpsed emptiness at the heart of a busy and productive life. So this is going to be, I want to share something from you, from this with you. And this is a kind of counterbalance, a counterpoint with the High Ticket Virtual Retreat. Get out there, go out there, talk to people. I mean every word of that. And then I'm also going to tell you the opposite. Stop, rest, pause. I mean both of them. The one, they go hand in hand. The one doesn't happen without the other for reasons that I just said. So don't mistake like sitting on the couch eating bonbons for 3 years for what I'm saying here. It's a rhythm of activity and rest that we're looking for, all right? And this is an important balancing because in the West, we really, like, it's like we have got a 24/7 culture. We don't ever stop. And also I think this is a particularly important message for abundance in a, I don't want to call it a post-COVID world. What do we call 2 years in with COVID? I don't even know what to name it, right? I know that for me, the rhythm of travel was often the rhythm of rest. I would add an extra day on, then I would take a week for myself, then, you know, and I canceled 21 trips when COVID hit. And last May, I was telling my team, like, wow, I just realized for the last year, I've been going faster and further than I ought to have. It's just, there's one thing that I was missing, that structure. And then the next month, my father died, you know? So like, rest, how crucial it is in the rhythms of our lives. And many of us have lost this, even in the rhythm of driving to work. And I know that it's been shifting and changing and now people are starting to go back to work and so on, right? But we lost what we call that third place. Some people go to work, it's like, here's our home. And then I have the space of a drive where there's spaciousness. And then I'm at work and then I'm in a different environment. Then I drive back home and I have my space, and we lose that. So people, I don't know if you heard about this, and some of this is being talked about 2 years ago now, a year and a half ago, but to create a commute to your other room and to create these structures of pause in our lives. And that's why I'm so excited about the yoga retreat that I just went to too. This is a pause, a week-long pause in my year that was overdue, but for good reason. You know, I don't regret anything that I did, circumstances of life, but how crucial it is, companion piece to abundance, companion piece to high-ticket virtual retreat, because without this pause, we either burn out or we sabotage ourselves, or we don't feel the abundance anymore because we're just too busy running around doing stuff and we can't even make good decisions. So this is what, and when I first heard of this book, Sabbath, I thought, Sabbath? I mean, now I love the name of the book, but at the time when one of my mentors recommended it in about 2007, I'm like, Sabbath? Isn't that Sunday where you were supposed to, and again, whatever your spiritual religious practices are, where you're supposed to, you know, go to church and take that day off, but I don't know why, and you're not supposed to do things and there's rules about it, or, you know, like, that's not all my background about that word, but some of it was that. And I'm like, Sabbath, you want me to, okay, I'll read it. And I'm like, oh, this is profound. Oh, this is life-changing. Oh, this is life-giving for our lives. And without this, I don't know how to have that real abundance. I mean, think of the spaciousness and the pause-like feeling of that beautiful song we heard. Didn't it feel like time was still? There was something of spaciousness and pause right in that song. So let me share with you just the beginning of this book. I highly recommend it. Here's what Wayne Muller says. He says, remember the Sabbath. Again, that sounded weird to me, but now I get it. This book explains it. He says, in the relentless busyness of modern life, we've lost the rhythm between work and rest. All life requires a rhythm of rest. There's a rhythm in our waking activity and the body's need for sleep. There's a rhythm in the way day dissolves into night and night into morning. There is a rhythm as the active growth of spring and summer is quieted by the necessary dormancy of fall and winter. There's a tidal rhythm, a deep eternal conversation between the land and the great sea. In our bodies, the heart perceptibly rests after each life-giving beat. The lungs rest between the exhale and the inhale. We have lost this essential rhythm. Our culture invariably supposes that action and accomplishment are better than rest, that doing something, anything, is better than doing nothing. Because of our desire to succeed, to meet these ever-growing expectations, we do not rest. Because we do not rest, we lose our way. We miss the compass points that would show us where to go. We bypass the nourishment that would give us succor. We miss the quietness that would give us wisdom. We miss the joy and love born of effortless delight. poisoned by this hypnotic belief that good things come only through unceasing determination and tireless effort, we can never truly rest. And for want of rest, our lives are in danger. In our drive for success, we are seduced by the promises of more, more money, more recognition, more satisfaction, more love, more information, more influence, more possessions, more security. Even when our intentions are noble and our efforts sincere, even when we dedicate our lives to the service of others, the corrosive pressure of frantic overactivity can nevertheless cause suffering in ourselves and others. A successful life has become a violent enterprise. We make war on our own bodies, pushing them beyond their limits, war on our children, because we can't find enough time to be with them when they're hurt and afraid and need our company. War on our spirit, because we're too preoccupied to listen to the quiet voices that seek to nourish and refresh us. War on our communities, because we are fearfully protecting what we have and do not feel safe enough to be kind and generous. War on the earth, because we cannot take the time to place our feet on the ground and allow it to feed us, to taste its blessings and give thanks. What he's talking about masquerades as abundance. Can you hear it? More, more, more. I've got to have more. It's like those abundance songs. More in the future. Someday I'll have that. So I've got to strive and work harder because then I'll get there, because it's a race to get, like, who has more toys at the end? You know? It's actually scarcity, like in those songs, masquerading as abundance, the opposite of what we heard and felt in that song by Sam Garrett at the beginning. The power and necessity of the pause. What did you hear in these beautiful words that I've read over and over and over and over again? And every time I read them, I hear it at deeper and deeper levels. It's worth reading over every year, every month for the rest of our lives, I think. And the rest of the book too, but this is just the beginning. What did you hear for you in this? Yeah, Heidi.
Whenever I think of the word rest, I think of music. And if you just have a bunch of notes with no rest, where the rest is needed for it to take shape, and group what needs to be grouped and separate what needs to be separated and all that, you wouldn't have music. And I think of that a lot with rest.
I think that's so powerful. And actually, I want to share with you in just a few minutes an example of that, so we can feel it in our bones. It's in music, absolutely. Mm. A flurry of notes. We don't hear anything without the pause. Thank you for that. There was something else you were going to add as well.
Yeah, I guess also the pause, my mind goes to stillness and, you know, the be still and know I am God. It's in stillness that we go within and reconnect with what is really the source of abundance, the creator of all abundance, and that we're not the ones who are creating this. And that the pause is the moment to remember and trust that the sun will rise again and I don't have to grab it now because the sun might not rise again. The sun will rise again. Mm. So this is the reminder of that.
Trust, something bigger than ourselves. And not does this apply, but how does this apply to you? Whatever your spiritual beliefs are, whatever your vision of the world, you can call that force God, universe, highest self, my intuition, connection with others, source energy, whatever you call that force in your life, whatever words you use, be still and know I'm God. And it's in so many spiritual traditions. I can't claim all of them. I don't know, probably all of them. The silence, the stillness, and from that place wisdom. And you can hear why I'm saying start your day with Shavasana. It's a space It's a pause. And I said, we come full circle. As Yvonne said, I just appreciate the pause. Oh, out of that place, we make different choices. Out of that place, we shift the rat race of gotta do this. And the practice, again, I want to tie to something practical and the high ticket virtual retreat. Let's say you're in a call with somebody and it's your first time offering something high ticket, and you're offering it for $2,000 or $3,500 or $5 million, doesn't matter what the number is. Maybe it's the first time those words have come out of your mouth. So I'm going to take it to very practical and tangible. It's like, how much is that? It's $3,500. And then we want to rush in with words and explain, yeah, but I know, and this is my first time, but like, I know we're going to do a good job. Blah, 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 blah. They go, wow, that sounds like a lot of money. Pause. Yeah. So much more powerful. Let them have their experience. Whether it's 3,500 or 35,000 or 35 million, the number doesn't matter. Do you get it? The power of the pause and the abundance of that moment and the owning of it and the connectedness of it. How important the pause is. Thank you. Yes, beautiful, beautiful. And trust. Can you feel the trust in that moment too? I don't need to fill it in with words and explain, and it's my own scarcity or not knowingness or like just, yeah. It's a lot of money. How would you like to pay for that? You know, I just wanted to, a couple of times, just the tangibleness of our companies and what we're building. It's not just that. I know it's just one application. Thank you. Beautiful. Anything else about the pause that you want to share or from that reading of Sabbath? Anything else that comes up for you? Yeah, Marie.
I don't know if you saw what Dawn posted in the chat. The world is very loud. The voice of creation is in silence.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you, Marie. And thank you, Dawn. Beautiful. And sometimes in the rush of words, we're going to be talking about, you know, rev up your business with an opt-in page on Thursday, right? How do we create that opt-in page? What do we say to people? And sometimes we want to rush to get there. It's like, let me tell you this and that and that and that and that. And we fill it up with too much stuff. Simple words, simply spoken, simple things with a pause. It's right in our words as well. And how we offer something to somebody, and are we pushing somebody to do something? Or are we just making space for somebody to step in if they choose? You feel the difference of spaciousness, the difference of allowing, the difference in the energy of it, the different feeling of abundance. I push you because blah, 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 blah. It's all scarcity. You can step in if you want to. If you don't, some will, some won't. So what? Someone's waiting. And it doesn't matter to me. It's an abundant world for you and for me all as well. It's a very different come from place. Spaciousness. Good. Anything else bubbling up? It's beautiful, beautiful work. It's beautiful. Okay. So Heidi was talking about a song, and I just want to share this with you. I've shared this many times. It doesn't matter how many times I share it. And if you're listening to the recording later, I'm going to just pause the recording for a minute for this. Let me see. Can I do it this way? Yeah. So this is, you can look for it on YouTube later. And it's Whitney Houston's "I Will Always Love You." But I want you to listen for over like a billion people have seen this? A million? It's a lot. It's a lot. I think it was, let me check. Yes, a billion people have watched this, over a billion people. I mean, there's what, not even 8 billion people on the planet now? 1/8 of them. This has been, played by more than a billion times. And I want you to listen for exactly what Heidi was talking about. Listen for the pause. I'm just going to. Could you hear it? How could that be heard? without the pause. Yeah, makes me cry. And the fullness of her voice. And when you've heard the in-between parts too, it's even more powerful. You can all listen after this call. It comes as so full because of the pause. It is a deep abundance practice. Do not neglect it. Incorporate it into your life. And here's the thing I want to say. In order to do this, again, we won't even make those calls. We won't grow our business if we don't have spaciousness in our lives. Because we'll go, oh, if I do more, it's going to be more. It's false. We bring in more supports. We bring in more people who serve and support and who are on our team and so on, right? But we end up with a feeling of scarcity, of time scarcity, and too much fullness. So we won't actually grow our companies. They will stall. There's much to be learned in the high-ticket virtual retreat game. How are you playing the game? Do you have a rhythm of pause and activity? Both matter. What abundance practices are you bringing to the game? And then here's the thing. We won't make the calls if there's no spaciousness. What needs to fall away in your life? What is it that you're doing that you can stop doing? And they all look like good things. I get it. But the same activities and doing the same things will get you the same results. It's about radical choices. Can you let go of the excellent for the outstanding? What is it that you're still doing? What is it that you're tolerating that has to fall off the page? I left teaching university. I love teaching university. But I couldn't do that and this. I left the excellent for the outstanding. What is it that you have to let fall away? So that there's spaciousness, so that you can fully engage in the game. This is like, what else could you be doing right now? This is the thing that moves the needle. This is the thing that brings happiness. This is the time to lean in with the community, right? What needs to fall away so that you can bring in that practice of spaciousness? You go back to Sam Garrett recording as well from the beginning of the call. You'll hear the spaciousness in that song and the timelessness of it. Where can you bring in that quality and have that rhythm of work and rest and activity and rest in order to grow your company, in order to grow your life, in order to grow what you're doing? Yeah, thank you, Yvonne. Make room for the outstanding. Exactly. Heidi says we must prune our activities to make room for the growth we want, make space. It's one of the things he talks about in Sabbath. One of the openings of one of the chapters, it's like, well, a woman who wanted to grow a bunch of carrots, so she just left them all in there, didn't prune them, and none of them grew. What is it that you need to prune, take away? Powerful words work that like that, by the way, on a web page. It's like, what do we have to take away so the rest can be heard? All right, beautiful. Jot down your biggest aha. Love that, Marie. A month of meditation into my yearly schedule. It's pauses daily. It's moment by moment, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. Jot down your biggest aha. Thank you. I love what's in the chat here. I'm just finishing up that last sentence, knowing that there's plenty of time to come back to it, right? That's also scarcity, like, oh, I got to get this down, otherwise it'll go away. It's okay. You can come back to it. Marie says, I've built a month of meditation into my yearly schedule. That 1 month is the foundation for everything I do. Heidi says, pause is a way to make time special and sacred. And time, special and sacred. Yes, yeah. As we pause. And space, special and sacred. Exactly, yeah. As we pause, our lives are filled with the sacred. And then we bring that into our businesses. That's business growth is a result, is a spin-off effect of this. Of this. And oh, by the way, I'm sorry, but you end up living a better life. You know, you have to suffer with it, living a better life, more aligned life, more spacious life. And then by the way, that's if you really want to grow your business, right? It's a spin-off effect. Spaciousness brings me more great moments, things, time, abundance, all of it. Yeah. Marie says, all of my contact with my business will be affected by my relationship with time, abundance versus scarcity. Exactly. All right. One more piece that I want to give you. Like, remember, we started with abundance and the why of it and the what of it. What does it actually feel like? Not the Google definition, but the cellularly, and within two songs that we've shared now too, and increasing our having level, all that we did at the beginning, then practice, and then the pause. And then the third piece that I want to add for you that you're going to get immediately now from, because it's in everything that we've already done. I just want to name it. Vision plus gratitude equals power, and so much more than power equals abundance, equals alignment, equals joyful life, equals so much more. Vision plus gratitude. Vision plus gratitude. And Dawn says, I like the irony of letting go to make room for our abundance. Yes. One of the I told you that ALLOW, it's an acronym, the pieces that we need for the inner story that is aligned with abundance, that is aligned with our best self, that is aligned with, you know, that is the fuel for our words and our work in the world. The acronym is ALLOW. Abundance is the A, one of the L's is letting go. And now you could see the reason that we add that component part. And you got it right here. I like the irony of letting go to make room for our abundance. So when we really, and we dive in at a different point in the year, but you get it. Abundance isn't just more carrots stuffed into this, you know, into this patch of land. That's just how our Western world thinks of it. More. It's not that. Abundance, like the five forms of abundance that Bashar talks about, and the feeling space in that room that we got from the beginning of this call. So beautiful. All right, so vision plus gratitude equals abundance equals power equals so much. Remember I said, and Heidi said, allow the land to lie fallow. And he talks about that in Sabbath. When we don't do that, the land dies. If we don't let the land lie fallow, what is it? I'm not a farmer. My dad was. My parents were, right? He would know the answer to this, but every 7 years, you have to leave it lie there. If you don't, the land dies. And our planet is in peril because like more production, more. That's not abundance. Scarcity masquerading as abundance. So, and remember those songs that I said, they're all about, I'm going to make more money tomorrow. I'm going to make more money. It's like supposed to be abundance songs. They're not, they're really inscribing and reinforcing scarcity. And sometimes our vision boards do the same thing. We create a vision board. That's something I'm going to have next year, later, somewhere else. Other, my back starts to hurt when I even say that. Sometime other than now, which is filled with scarcity, but I'm going to dream about that pipe dream because I hate my life right now. Vision boards often work that way, I think. And then people wonder why they don't work. Envisioning is beautiful. What is it that you actually truly want? And when we come from a space of abundance, I know that all things come to me. And I see in my past that there's so many things that serve and support me. And I've made spaciousness in my life. And I connect with a community that uplifts and supports me. And I know there's many sources of support and many forms of abundance. I come from that place. And out of that place, I envision what's coming. And I have certainty about it coming. I might not know all the forms of it, but I know it's going to come because that's what I've noticed in the past. And I celebrate my wins. And I know that my life is abundant in the many forms that maybe I haven't been paying attention to. So I just know it's coming. Then I have the fun of watching it unfold. I envision that thing in the future. Then whether it's my affirmations or my vision board or whatever, then they'll work in the sense that they'll be productive and feel good in my life and allow my life to unfold in a beautiful and positive way. Making sense? This is a piece of vision plus gratitude, and it's so often missing from our vision boards, for instance. Like those scarcity, abundance, money songs, right? Tomorrow I'll have all that stuff that I don't have now. and I'm immersed in the scarcity of it. What's missing, and I said we'd circle back around to this, is gratitude. And you were saying earlier, gratitude feels like the energy, the same frequency as abundance. When I feel the abundance of this moment now, all that's in it, how my life is blessed, truly. Not because it's a gratitude practice, not because I'm supposed to, not because I have ticky boxes, but I feel it like as we watch that song. Gratitude, appreciation arises in us naturally. Wow, this is such a beautiful life. I love the pieces in my life. I love that book. I love that it's in my on my shelf. I love that I could just find it. I love that even if I didn't find it, it's perfect because it would have unfolded in a different way that would have been beautiful too. Can you feel all that? I love those birds in the sky. They were amazing. Filled the sky. And I love the next day we saw these birds that were louder than a bird sanctuary. It just filled the air with song. And when I come from that place, abundance, gratitude, it feels like they're very energetically related. Then from this place of plenitude and trust, that word trust came up earlier. From that, of course, it's a natural outgrowth that I'm going to trust. Yes, Dawn says, I am blessed. I'm going to trust that more is going to unfold that's beautiful because I can already see the beauty in what's now. And if I can't, I train my eyes to see that, like we do with Shavasana each day. I don't care if there were 99 things you didn't like. What's the thing you loved? 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 Well, look, I love this. 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 What I expect more, something that I love. And it's okay that we can see those 99 things, all right? It's okay that we know that they're there. It's not happy face on empty gas gauge. It's a different feeling than that. It's noticing of the small things. It's the adding up, not even adding up, the appreciation. Think of our words, appreciation. Appreciation in money, it means it grows. Appreciation, I appreciate you. I feel the beauty in what you are and who you are in my life and what how we be together. Appreciation. Gratitude. And from that place, I envision tomorrow. And what we focus on grows, exactly, Dawn. So can we do that? And again, I'm going to connect it to something like on the court, business, you know, I don't want the word tactics, but you know what I'm saying, the nuts and bolts pieces. I have a person in front of me. They're not my ideal client. Oh no, everything went wrong. The world is scarce. From this place, we react very differently when we remember this. I have this person in front of me. They're not my ideal client, but I know 3 things about them. I know 10 things about them that made them not a match. And when I know what I don't want, I know what I do want. That person was mean and yelled at me. I want people who are nicer. I yelled at the person because it made me lose my temper. I want to be nicer when I'm with people. This person didn't understand what I was saying. I didn't see the value of it. I want people who see the value of it. This person just wanted to get to the finish line quickly and they were so much in a rush they couldn't get it. I want people who will stay with it and know that the results come over time. I want people who, I want people who expect results quickly because things happen quickly in my work. I'm not saying it's one thing or another. Whatever that is for you, and I have that one person in front of me who's not my ideal client and I go, the world is abundant. Thank you for that. The next person that I speak to is going to be that much closer because I have eyes to see now that that's a component of my ideal client. I have 100 of those conversations, somebody's going to say yes. If I have 100, nobody's said yes yet. I can lean in with this community and find out because there's something in what I'm saying or who I'm pulling out in front of me. I'm working way too hard. And I have this community to lean into so I don't have to go through 100 people. But even if I did, I'm okay with that because then all the rest say yes because now I'm really aimed at the right people. And not all the rest, but so many more. Do you know what I'm saying? That is more than an abundance mindset, an abundance way of living. And can you see how like we're breathing better when we actually feel that way? We have more energy for our day. We're not so worried about things. We're not using our vivid imagination to construct a future that we don't want. So much easier. So much easier. All right. Vision plus gratitude, both of them. Gratitude for what is now. Gratitude for what happened in the past. And then we trust that what's coming is beautiful because that's what we're seeing. If every day we go, I didn't like that Shavasana, it wasn't quite right, my arm wasn't right. And we have that accumulating for a year, how's that next Shavasana going to be? Maybe my arm wasn't right, but I learned that I want my arm in closer or further, whatever it was. I learned that I want to support my arms. I want to try it with like some weights on my hands, see how it feels. I'm going to ask Michelle some questions about it so that my mind is quieter. Maybe my mind was busy that time, but I love that I even had a moment to myself. And then it's an accumulation of that that is my next thing that I come to expect. So I expect more, not less, not like the gotta have scarcity way, but that it's just a natural outgrowth of how I be in the world. And then I said we'd come to that trust. I said it'd be toward the end of our call, trust as an acronym. And it will just help us remember things that we've been learning today. Trust, T, turn toward your vision. Have a vision of what's coming. I talked to 5 people today. I'm going to have excellent conversations. And I expect that one of them will probably say yes. I'm not going to cling to it if not everything's falling apart, right? Trust whatever vision you want to. Or I'm going to talk to 10 people today and I'm not attached to the outcome. 10 people or 10 people this week. It's not about the numbers. Or I turn toward my vision. I actually want to live in a different place. I'm trusting that I can if I want to. What would that look like? What's the first step toward doing that? I'm just going to turn toward the vision and trust that the universe is abundant enough to give it to me. Turn toward the vision. What do you actually want? Be courageous enough to stand for it. Otherwise, you're standing in scarcity. Hard to get there from there. I'm not going to really say what I want because I might be disappointed. I might not get it. Turn toward the vision. T. R. We just did this. Remember to balance a vision with gratitude. I want this stuff, but I don't have it. I want this stuff, but I don't have it. And think of that song that we saw with Sam Garrett, like everybody there in silence, even in the song, in a pause, in connectedness, all the things that we talked about at the beginning. You, we haven't talked about this yet, but I want to add this. You stands for use the power of the word. Write it down. Writing something down gives it power. I am going to have 3 calls with people that I might be able to help. I'm going to claim that my offer is $3,500 for a $7,000 package. I'm writing it down. I'm trusting that vision. Do you see how all this works together? I'll share it with somebody on a connection call. I'm going to make my home beautiful. I'm going to make my office beautiful. I'm going to have a beautiful office by next week or next month or next year. Do you see? I write it down. From that place of abundance, I'm not scared about it. I'm not creating a scarcity vision board. It's like, this is what I want. This is what I know the universe will yield to me, or that or something better. I'm not attached to the form. S, start experiencing it today. We haven't talked about that, and we've talked about nothing else. They were in that room in abundance. It wasn't like, tomorrow I'm going to get that. Well, tomorrow I'll be peaceful, but right now it's awful. You said it in this. There, it was abundance is right here, right now. We've been talking about nothing but, in a way. We haven't talked about it like that. We've also been talking about nothing but. And then T, time to reap the rewards. Time to reap the rewards. Celebrate. That spells trust. Turn toward your vision. Remember to balance vision with gratitude. Use the power of the word. Write it down. You can share it too. Start experiencing it right now, right today. And time to reap the rewards. And if you can't, let's say you want one week off every month. Maybe you don't have time for that yet. It's not scarcity of time. It's just that there's a lot of moving parts in your life right now. Not scarcity of time. Well, can you take an afternoon off every month, for instance? Let that be your week. Imagine, envision it, experience it like it's a whole week. Start experiencing it now. And then from that place, let it grow. So it's not some far off thing that's disconnected from my life right now. Vision, gratitude, it's already here and it's changing form and growing all the way along. And then when we've done this, we live in the abundance now. We have a vision for where we're going and we're on the joyful path to get there. Making sense? and then notice what's in the way. I'm not saying once and done, like forever after this call, you will always feel like that. We're in that feeling space right here together, but then you had that breakout room. Like what's the stumbling block? What's the obstacle? Don't be afraid of the obstacle. As we bump into that obstacle, we lean in, you get support, you figure it out. With the game, how are you playing? Well, I couldn't think of anybody that I could serve, so I'm quitting. Or I lean in, will you help me brainstorm? Because I know they must be there. There's probably 10 people I could reach out to. I can't think of who they are, but I know with your support, we'll get there. Even if you don't know those people, maybe it's gonna be somebody that you know that I could even reach out to and practice with. Or like Dawn, I don't, you know, there's nothing lying around on my shop room floor. Oh, right, now there's an abundance of things on my shop room floor, and trusting that they're there and that we help each other get there. Watch how you're playing. It's right there in front of you when we see. And that, seeing it now, allows for a completely different unfolding in the future. And that is a fun way to live. And thank you, Yvonne, for adding it to the chat. Fantastic. All right, we are at perfect time. 3 minutes to the hour. I'm just trying to think. Reminder about the High Ticket Virtual Retreat. I know I've been speaking about it in different places. The game is on. Watch how you're playing. This is the perfect application for abundance. We can have, oh yes, I'm abundant, but not really, because I think of this and I fall apart. It allows you to put it on the court. Do you get what I'm saying? And work out the kinks in it. When you find abundance in the game, you'll find it so deeply in so many more places in your life. It's a place to put it in action, so it's real. I feel abundant, really, I do, really do. I'm really actually afraid and don't want to go out there in the world, but I'm going to pretend I'm abundant. No, these two go hand in hand. So we can actually have it on the court. The game is on. And just a reminder, rev up your business with your opt-in page. This will help give you the words in all of this from the High Ticket Virtual Retreat and from this a retreat on abundance will be there. You'll see it behind the opt-in page. I have to explain to people really careful, really quickly, otherwise they won't get there. So like, I'm going to help people who just had a divorce and are feeling like really awful, but hey, I'm going to help you feel joy right away. I'm trying to hurry because I'm afraid, because otherwise they won't stay with me. Oh, total scarcity, total rush. Do you get it? It comes right into the copy. Oh, this page will help me see, get into the mindset of how my people are feeling. What really matters to them? How do I speak to them and listen to them? Because I've got time. There's plenty of time to hear what they're saying. The more deeply I hear them, the more I'll be able to serve. Do you see how all these pieces fit together? Everything we do this year, it's all holographic. It all fits together hand in glove. And you can pick up any one piece of it, start anywhere. Don't think, oh, I gotta wait for all these other pieces. Scarcity. I pick up this one piece and I go, all right. Thank you. thank you. Thanks, Marie. You're listening to the recording later. One aha, one inspired action. If you need to leave on the hour in 1 minute, go and post it in the Facebook page. Use that resource abundantly. That's like our coffee place where you share a cup of coffee with somebody and share your joy, share your celebration, share what you're learning. The more you use that resource, the more that'll be a beautiful, fun place for you to be, the more it abundantly supports your journey. During the game of all times is a great time to be leaning in. And remember, if you want my response to that, tag and text me. I'll be there in there for you too, okay? Post your questions there as well. So one inspired action. If you need to leave, no worries. This recording will be here for you. And also you can post it in our Facebook group. So Heidi, you are up in my upper left-hand corner. If there wasn't one aha through this time, I will eat my hat. One aha.
There's an abundance of ahas.
Right.
I would say the power of pause in everyday life.
Mm-hmm. So crucial for you and for your people too, right?
Yes.
Crucial.
Yes.
And we choose that. We construct that. We have to let go of some things to create that. Otherwise, it's going to be add more and more and more. And it's the false mirroring of abundance, not real abundance. Abundance involves letting go. Beautiful. Thank you. The power of the pause. And what's your inspired action, Heidi?
pause mindfully.
Mm-hmm.
Today.
Right. Thank you for that check-offable action. I'm going to pause mindfully today. I can do it for the rest of my life, but then I know I'm actually doing something in the real world. It's not just head knowledge that doesn't go anywhere. I'm actually doing it. So it's going into my real world, actually making a difference each time we meet. One more piece, one more piece, one more piece. Thank you, Heidi. Beautiful. Yvonne, you're up next.
Money brings lots of happiness.
Yes.
Boom.
What if it's okay to embrace that form of abundance?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who doesn't think money brings happiness hasn't given enough of it away.
Mm-hmm.
To embrace it. It's like, I will go with all the other forms of abundance, but not money, because there are, money's the root of all evil. Money, I don't want money, but money is why, how we eat. like Heidi said, the disjuncture of that. It's like, oh, what if we can embrace that? Thank you, Yvonne. What's your inspired action?
I'm going to post a thread in the Facebook group. What am I tolerating in my life?
Thank you for returning to that. I didn't even say very, very much about that, but it's huge. It's a place to find those obstacles. It's to find a place to find the, it's a nice idea. Oh, but I'm bumping into this. I'm tolerating it. I'm not going to have that spaciousness. What is it that I can notice that I'm tolerating? Let that go and trust that it's enough. Trust that I don't need that anymore. Trust that that can fall away, to leave space for abundance, leave space for the positive, leave space for practices that support me in my abundant and growing in abundance, more and more abundant life. Thank you, Yvonne. Beautiful. Marnie, you're up next.
Well, I got to start with my inspired action, which is to find a few more dollar bills to join that one sitting in the bottom of my vault. But
And hang on. Is it coming from abundance or scarcity right in the moment?
Right in the moment, abundance.
Good. Okay. I was going to say scarcity, but only you will know. I'm going to go find some more of those dollar bills. And what's the best way to do that? Quickest path to cash. High ticket, right? Don't go sell $1 widgets and refer to all of the high ticket virtual retreat, right? Fantastic. That's aligned. I believe you. Really good.
So my real aha is clarify your vision, set your practice, pause, feel gratitude, and trust it'll happen. And my action is to write these components for myself and review them every morning.
Doesn't that combine so much of what we're talking about today? Fantastic. Thank you. And if you want an abundance of money practice, I was going to tell you, and then we went to a different place. I want to tell everybody here, post it as a question, because it's a really fun game that helps bring more of that financial abundance into our lives. So if you post it, I will let you know on Thursday. Money game. Thanks, Marnie. Beautiful. Dawn, you're up next.
I was writing that down. Money game. Okay. I'm surprised that it's this one, but I heard it earlier today on a webinar. It was about evict the toleration tenant. And then that's what stood out for me. And so does this, that what it is that I have to let fall away so that I can engage more with life.
And we're seeing how the abundance and the letting go virtual retreats connect with each other, right? All of this fits together. It's natural outgrowth. We do that at a different part of our year, but we can see how it fits together.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I love it. I let these things fall away so I can have actual abundance, not this mimicry of it, or this, you know, like the abundance songs version of it, the real abundance and the real choices that I'm choosing my life and the trajectory I'm on, and therefore my company as well. Thank you, Dawn. What's your inspired action?
Is to make that list of what I'm tolerating and then what I'm going to let go, what I'm going to replace it with.
Mm-hmm. And that's like creating an abundance of carrots in the garden, right? Pruning the garden so that I get real abundance, not just a bunch of dead carrot leaves, because there just wasn't enough space for true abundance. Beautiful. I love it. Yes. Teresa, you're up next.
Interesting. I was going to say one thing. I'm going to say something else that triggered something. The tolerance. I'm not going to share what exactly it is I've been tolerating, but I just had kind of a flash that there's something I'm tolerating and why. I need to, it's going to take action from me. I mean, dedicated action, but why?
Thank you.
It takes,
it's like taking this moment of aha, right? Real aha.
Just now. Yeah.
Love it. Thank you. Beautiful. And what's your inspired action?
Begin to take steps. It's going to take effort from me, but daily steps.
Yeah, to stop the thing that you've been tolerating, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Every day.
Yeah. And I can see the alignment in you. Can you guys all see it? Like your face changed, how you're being changed, how you're sitting has changed. Can you guys all see that? Like something has been lifted even before you're doing it, even before you're manifesting in the world, this decision has changed things for you. Beautiful. Thank you. Love it. And Diane.
For me too, what hit the most was the importance of the pause, because I've been feeling like I'm going 900 miles an hour every day.
Right. So
that one really hit home. And I'm going to book a strategy session to work on and expand my list for what's on my shop floor.
Fantastic. And I'm just going to adjust the language just a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's a connection call. And just so we have clarity of language on our campus, right? A connection call when you're working together, right? Mm-hmm. So a connection call where I'm going to help you, you're going to help me. That's a connection call. So we can figure out what's on the shop room floor. Strategy session, so that we're all using the same language. That's a conversation with somebody who could potentially do your work, where you're saying, hey, let me help you find the best next step. Some people call it a discovery call. Some people call it strategy session, just so we're clear about the language and also clear about the language on the campus. Like, hey, do you want to do a strategy session with me? That might mean that we think that person needs our work. Hey, do you want to do a connection call with me? Then people know with clarity on this campus, that's where we're going to help each other, right? So we keep the language clear. I knew that that's what you meant. And some people might use that language. It's not wrong, but on this campus, I want to keep the language really clear so we know which one is which. And I love that. It's like what we saw in Dawn. It's like, look, here's a picture of just one part of what's lying around on my shop room floor. How abundant is that? How beautiful is that? And when we come into that conversation with somebody who we can help, and we know that's in our court, everything is so much easier. It's so much more fun. And we can actually do the work that we're meant to do on this planet, help the people we're meant to help, live a life on purpose. How cool is that? Thank you so much. This has been just like the high ticket virtual retreat, it's been my favorite abundance retreat ever, ever, ever. I've been teaching this, I think it's more than a dozen years now. You guys are playing at such a high level. And I'm just going to tell you about the high ticket virtual retreat. I got together with Yvonne briefly afterwards. And I'm like, that was the best one ever, wasn't it? And we've done some fabulous, fabulous work before. And I just was checking in with her. She's like, yes, absolutely. I mean, I don't just throw words around. You guys are playing at such a high level. I'm so excited to see you engaging in this way. I'm so excited by what we're building here together. Can't wait to see you on Thursday for another component piece. These all fit together like hand in glove. Have a fantastic day, everybody. Keep playing the game. The game is on. Watch how you're playing. You have some more tools now to see how you're playing and serve and support each other. The game is designed cooperatively so you can all help each other as you're on that unfolding path to do what you're meant to do on this planet in fun and joyful ways, right? So have a great, great couple of days, you guys. We'll see you on Thursday for the next part. See you soon.
Did you have a question, Teresa? No? You're good?
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Yvonne.
I thought you were raising your hand, so I wanted to make sure you were really covered there.
Thanks, Yvonne. Have a fantastic day, everybody. We'll see you on Thursday. Don't forget to post your questions. Remember to post your questions too. Lean in, post questions. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye for now.